Welcome back to our study of Hebrews. We are in chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, lift up in active hands and straighten weak knees.
Then go ahead and read 13 with that.
Make straight paths for your feet, so the lame will not be turned out of the way. Instead, let them be healed.
If I understand this correctly, what the writer is instructing the people to do, or the Spirit of God is instructing the people to do, is people, weak hands, and tired hands, weak knees, people who are weary, be not weary in well-doing, okay? People who become tired, what he's saying is, help them. You strengthen their hands. You strengthen their knees. Lift their hands up. Strengthen their knees. And then get them. Don't make the way so hard that they stumble. And let me tell you, this is what religion has done. Religion has made the way hard for people to where they have to jump through all these hoops. And the people that are weak and, you know, they're tired. And he's speaking metaphorically. You understand that religion's worn them out, is the bottom line. He says, when we say make it a path that they can walk on where they can be healed, not a path that's going to make it hard. You think about a lame man. Mm-hmm. If it's an uneven path, then it just puts that much more hardship on him. And this is what religion does to people. It'll put a hardship on you with all this types of rules, regulations, and all this other stuff. But what we're to do is to tell people to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit walk is a refreshing walk. And so our role as believers is to assist people in getting their attention on the Spirit side of this thing, to where you can be strengthened. And you'll walk in a straight way. You'll walk in a place to where you can be healed, so to speak. Not a place that's going to make it harder for you, but it's going to make it better for you. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe he's speaking metaphorically here.
In verse 14, seek peace with everyone, also holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Now, they say follow, but it's pursue peace. Some people just like confrontation. And I do not understand that for the life of me. I do not understand why people want confrontation. Sometimes it can't be avoided, but pursue peace. And as much as is possible within you, live peaceably with all men. And there are occasions to where it's not possible because they don't want peace. It's like David said, the song, I'm for peace. Mm-hmm. When I speak, they're for war. You understand? I'm a man of peace. I want peace. But I'm not going to compromise for that. As much as possible, I live peaceably. But I'm not going to compromise my... And I'm telling you, there's too many people compromising their beliefs today. Well, I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to rock the boat. All this type of stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, you better be a boat rocker when it comes to the things of God. Live at peace if you can. But don't compromise to get there. You know, pursue peace. And a lifestyle that's distinctly different, where people see that it's clean, it's pure, holy. It's a consecrated lifestyle, consecrated to God, not consecrated to a system, but that you're consecrated to God. So we pursue peace, and then he talks about holiness, without which no one's going to see the Lord. If you're going to see a distinctly different Lord, you'll be distinctly different. You with me? Okay.
Beware so that none of you fall short of the grace of God, neither allow any root of bitterness to sprout and irritate you. Many are defiled in this manner.
You know, that looking diligently, I would translate that, beware lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, or lest any root of bitterness springing up annoy you or trouble you, and thereby you're contaminated. Now, you've got to stay on top of your thinking in order to do this. Beware. What does that mean? You get a guard up, right? Don't fall short of God's grace. How do you fall short of God's grace? Read the book of Galatians. Trying to substitute works. And if you're trying to work to get something, you're falling short of the grace of God. And you're not going to obtain by works. You keep focused on the Lord. And the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is enough. It did everything. It accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished to get humanity back in right standing with God. And so we need to focus on that grace. And that grace, I'm going to put it this way, is a person. Stay focused on Jesus. Beware. Don't fall short of Him. Don't get caught up in all this philosophy and all this other stuff. But you stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? You just have to have a concept of what it means when he talks about grace. Don't just insert unmerited favor, but understand that he's talking about a person. And then he's warning us not to let bitterness take root on the inside of us. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I don't care how long you've been in church, you have to guard against these things, especially when there's opposition, as we spoke of before. You can find yourself getting bitter. Well, you know the old song, "Somebody Done Me Wrong." Well, guess what? Everybody gets done wrong. Welcome to the crowd. You understand? I mean, that's just the way it is. If you're going to live godly, then you're going to experience wrongdoing. Even the heathen experience wrongdoing. You with me? And so we can't get focused on these things that's going to let us get bitterness, resentment in our heart. I had the Lord to deal with me about that. I was in another country preaching. I'd come back to the hotel and I'm just walking around in a little hotel room there and just talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden the Lord said this: "You have bitterness in your heart." And you know what I said? "No, I don't." How many of you know the Lord's never wrong? He said, "You have bitterness in your heart." I said, "Maybe resentment." You don't barter with God, do you understand? Then I had to fess up, okay? All right. I've got bitterness in my heart against that person who tried to absolutely destroy my ministry. They worked to get me kicked out of the ministry. They fabricated lies. Now, what do I do? The Lord put all the responsibility on me to make it right. You know what we want to do? I said, "But God, I didn't do the wrong. They did me wrong." But I made up my mind in that hotel room that I would not let that stop my spiritual growth. And had I not dealt with it, it would have stopped me right there. And I dealt with it. And I legitimately forgave that person to the very point that it took me a while. I prayed for them, But I'm not going to tell you that I had my whole heart in it, okay? But one day, I got serious with God over that situation. And I said, Lord, your word says in John chapter 20, whosoever sins I remit, they're remitted. And I'm telling you right now, I'll remit that sin. And when that person stands before you in judgment, there will be no record of any wrong they've done me because I remit it now. It's like the weight of the world lifted off of me. You harbor things and you don't realize that it's hindering you. And the Lord was dealing with me about that. I would have never called that bitterness. But God called it what it was. Don't let those things take root in you. Because if it takes root in you, it will produce fruit. And it won't be good fruit. You with me? So don't let any root of bitterness spring up in you. You stay in the grace of God. You stay focused on the Lord. And when the Lord corrects you, take the correction. Do whatever's necessary. Whatever He's telling you to do, you do it. You with me? I've had on more than one occasion that the Lord had me to go to the person who did me wrong and ask forgiveness. But it's not fair. But do you know that every time it healed the situation? You just take the guilt on you. Isn't that what Jesus did? He took our guilt on Him. And God forgave it. You understand? And so that's what we're to do. We're to go to the person, another person. I just went to them. Actually, I was praying at the altar. I mean, I was being spiritual, you understand? I was praying at the altar. And the Lord spoke a scripture to me. When you see your brother has ought against you, leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother, is the essence of it. Thinking, man, I didn't do anything wrong. And it took him a couple times on that one too. If you see your brother has aught against you, you go. In this case, it was a woman. So I got up from the altar and I walked back to that woman. And I said, if I've offended you in any way, I want you to forgive me. You know, it healed that thing just that quick. It healed it. Now, you can complain with God and you can say it ain't fair or you can get the problem resolved. You understand? I'm going to tell you, don't let any root of bitterness spring up in you. Go ahead and deal with it. You understand? Deal with it. What difference does it make? Pride? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. They're the one that needs to be making it right, not me. Go on and deal with it. Suck it up. What do you have to lose? You've got everything to gain. And that's what the Lord, that's why the Lord will deal with you for your benefit. Now, at the time, it seems unfair. But the reward is well worth it. You understand? Guard your heart with all diligence. Okay?
I'd like to go back to the exhortation at the beginning of that verse, beware so that none of you fall short of the grace of God. And we talked about grace being a person, being Jesus. And I think about how we've been discussing faith, and we receive Jesus by faith. Remember what Jesus told Thomas, and blessed are those who believe without seeing, right? The grace we receive from God, we receive by faith. And here's the encouraging thing about this. and I hope it encourages some of you this evening, is that it takes the pressure off of us. When we don't have to perform to be good enough for God. Jesus is the one that puts us in right standing with God. So it takes the pressure off of you and it takes the pressure off of me. Even walking by the Spirit, do you understand? There's freedom and there's liberty in that. Because you don't have to make the decisions about what should I do and how should I do it. The Holy Spirit just tells you what to do. And all you have to do is just hear and obey. And so I hope that's just an encouragement to you. It is to me. It's not about the works.
This says don't let that defile you. Don't let that stuff defile you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And it'll hurt you. Get rid of all this stuff. Help other people. You know, in both cases, it helped those people. It helped those people. And at the time, didn't seem good, but it was the right thing to do. And I tell you something else it did to me. It purged me. You understand? I was contaminated and didn't know it. I'm going to tell you, when God deals with your heart, you better respond favorably to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's for your benefit. Okay.
And in verse 16, may none of you give place to immorality or become a wicked person like Esau, who for one meal sold his birthright.
Well, I think you know the story there, how all that goes. Flesh dominating. The immorality is flesh dominating. It's amazing how that, this is deeper than people realize with Esau. See, the birthright to the firstborn, that's incorporated in the law of Moses, or I could say that was recorded in the Word of God, that he was to take that birthright. That birthright was his. But because of his flesh, he actually scorned the birthright. Well, what good's the birthright? I'm about to starve to death anyway. Let me have you know you're not starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hungry, and flesh is screaming. And so he did not esteem the thing that God had given him. And that's the thing today. People do not hold in high esteem the things that God's given them. And actually, in so many cases, like Esau, disdain it. Now, when we get into the next verse, you want to go ahead and read it.
You know that later on, he would have inherited the blessing, but he was rejected. Although he sought the blessing, he cried for it. He found that what had occurred could not be reversed.
And here's the thing, with that birthright went a blessing. The blessing on the birthright. He sold the birthright to Jacob. Now he thought he was going to get the blessing. Now I know Jacob deceived, you know, his mama helped him, or actually initiated it, okay? But here's the thing, when Isaac blessed Jacob, it was a done deal. Esau was a grown man crying to his father. But what it says was the blessing couldn't be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac can't renege on the blessing. It's spoken out. He's blessed, he'll be blessed. You with me? That flesh will destroy you. It'll take from you. It'll steal from you. While you think it's doing you good. You know, after that meal, he's satisfied, right? But look at what it cost him in the end. And this is what happens so often is we yield to the flesh, but it costs us in the end. don't disdain the things that God gives you. God puts you in that position, in this case, as the firstborn with the birthright. Don't sell it out. Don't sell it out. Because if you do, you're going to lose the blessing of God. Okay?
For you have not come to the mountain that could be touched and burned with fire, nor to thick clouds, darkness, tempest, the sound of the trumpet, and a voice uttering words. Those who heard the voice earnestly requested that the word should not be spoken to them anymore.
That's an amazing thing to me. And I can't imagine how frightful the sight was. This is referring to Mount Sinai. The nation of Israel is gathered at the foot of the mountain, and God is speaking to the entire nation. God spoke verbally the Ten Commandments to the entire nation. The sight was so awesome. God comes down on the mountain. The mountain's burning. There's an earthquake and the smoke and all. And then the voice, like a trumpet, speaking to them. They said, we don't want to hear that anymore. This is a frightful thing. And we'll find that it even was frightful to Moses. But you don't run from every frightful thing. You with me? Now, they feared because God spoke in that place. That's not where we've come to. That's where the law was given. You understand? It was a frightful time there. You might want to go on reading.
The people could not tolerate that which was commanded. And if an animal went on the mountain, it was to be stoned or shot with an arrow.
I mean, that's pretty stringent rules there, right? You don't go near this mountain or you will be killed. If an animal goes there, kill him. You don't walk in to the presence of God uninvited.
The appearance of the event was so frightful that Moses said, I'm exceedingly terrified.
Do you understand? That's an awesome sight. I can't imagine. You can try to get a mental image of that with a mountain burning, smoke and earthquake and a loud voice, reverberating and telling you this. But let me tell you something. I've said in church service before, and hear the Spirit of God speak when I wasn't living right. I wanted to get out. I used to go out the basement door to keep from going by the pastor because of guilt. Fear of being exposed. Yeah, I'm guilty. I told you I was a rascal. But God saves rascals, thank God. You understand? No, I'm going to tell you, the presence of God is an awesome thing. I've been in the church service when somebody jumped up and run because the presence of God was so strong. They said, I'll never go back to that church. Scared them. When the Spirit of God started manifesting Himself, it scared them. No, that's when we fall on our face before God. I want to know you. I want to know you. I came in from a Sunday night service one night and I was really overwhelmed with the Spirit of the Lord. And I went to bed and I couldn't sleep, and I got up and I went in the bathroom and closed the door and laid down in the floor. And I just said, Lord, I love you. And I said, I'd just like to put my arms around you and just hold you. And all of a sudden, I didn't see anything. The presence of the Lord filled the room. I was afraid to open my eyes. You understand? Fearful. Afraid to open my eyes. And the Lord was just answering my prayer by gracing me with His presence. And that lasted a little while, and then that lifted, and then I opened my eyes. And then I'm thinking, why didn't you open your eyes? I was afraid to. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. We can't take those things lightly. No wonder He said flesh can't see it, look at Him. You understand? It puts things in perspective. Thank God that's not the mountain we're at. We're not the one that's burning with fire. But we're at a different place. Not dominated by fear, but by awesome respect for God. Just holding God in awe. You get in the presence of God, and it is an awe-full thing. You with me? You're full of awe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're going to read verses 22 through 24. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are recorded in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men who have been made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel's blood.
Now I want you to think about everything is mentioned here. We have not come to a natural place.
Right.
He said you've come to a spiritual place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at Mount Sinai. This is Zion. This is heavenly. And if you look at the various things He says, heavenly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Innumerable company of angels, general assembly, the church of the firstborn, that would be Jesus, who are recorded in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, note this, and to the spirits of just men. Where you've come to is a place of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? The flesh can't handle things, but God will take us into the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the Spirit, you think about the visions, the revelations. Caught up in the Spirit. You understand? In this, where the Spirit of man will sustain you. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord is telling us that you're not come, you haven't come. I'm not taking you or bringing you to a natural place. I want to bring you to a spiritual place. You with me? People, you know, have such a desire to go to Jerusalem and all this, and I'm not making fun or light of all that. I'm just saying all that's natural. It's all natural. How about this heavenly Jerusalem? About the new Jerusalem? You with me? That's the place that I want to be. The old Jerusalem, it's had its problems and still does. You understand? The new Jerusalem, as I say. And I want to be around just men, just spirits, people that are in right standing with God, a general assembly, in the company of angels, not in the company of perverts. You understand? You're surrounded with that every day of your life. I mean, there's so much perversion around, there's so much evil around. That's not where God is wanting us to live. God is wanting to bring us into the realm of the Spirit. But it starts with recognizing you as a spiritual being. And if you'll recognize yourself as a spiritual being, you'll start thinking spiritually. When you start thinking spiritually, you'll start understanding spiritually. You'll start seeing spiritually. I'm not talking about seeing apparitions and all this type of thing. I'm talking about your perception. You'll see right through things. Out here on the surface it looks good, but you'll see through the surface to the rotten core of the thing. You with me? Or you'll see to the truth of the matter as well. You can't judge the book by looking at the cover. You understand that? In the spirit realm, you don't look at the cover. God does not look at natural man. God looks at the heart. God's not judging you by your appearance or your works, per se. What's He looking at? He's looking at your heart, your motivation. It's not what you do. Why do you do what you do? What's motivating you? And see, all this is realm of the Spirit. And this is what He's taken. He's taken us to a realm of the Spirit. Now, as we keep reading, we'll find out why He's doing this. You want to read the next verse?
Yes. When He see that you do not refuse Him who speaks, for if those who refused Him who spoke on earth did not escape, how much more will we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven?
Those who refused to hear the Word of God and follow the Word of God under the law of Moses were killed. They didn't escape, you understand. Well, how much more do you think we're going to escape? No. But, what does He say?
What does He say? It's an excellent question. When He spoke to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
And so here's what He's telling us. Back then, He shook the earth. It was a frightful thing. But now, I'm going to shake everything. Not only earth, but I'm going to shake heaven also. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. I'm getting ahead of myself.
And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that can be shaken, which are things that are made by men, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
And so here's what He said. I'm going to bring you into a realm of the Spirit, into a kingdom that cannot be shaken because it's a spiritual kingdom. Anything natural will be shaken. It can be, it will be. But the things of the Spirit, the kingdom of God is not shakable. It's firm, it's established, it's forever. You understand? The kingdoms of men are going to shake. I don't care what kingdom it is and how powerful it is. You look at the world powers, they all came down. Men are vying for power today. They're all coming down. And we've got to get our eyes off of what's going on naturally and get our eyes on what's going on spiritually. And get caught up into the realm of the Spirit to where all the stuff shaking out here is not shaking you. But it's amazing how many Christians are being shaken by events. None of those things move us, or should not move us. You with us? What should move us is the Word of God. The Lord spoke to me back in 2019, I think it was. Before all that garbage of COVID came about. And He told me, He said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. And it amazed me how people fell prey to the enemy that was spreading all this propaganda, closing the doors of churches. And the Christians who's supposed to know better bow down to this God of the world instead of staying true to God. You understand? And the Lord said, I'm making a separation. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And it's amazing how many people you think sheep end up being goats. When you see God moving, they're not spiritually established. They're religious people thinking naturally, walking naturally. And so when the shaking takes place, it shakes their foundation because they don't have a solid foundation. They're not built on the Word of God. and tell you, we need that sure foundation of God's Word, that sure kingdom that will never pass away, the kingdom of God. And for many years, the Lord has been trying to get that established in our heart. The Lord started dealing with me in 1990 about the kingdom of God. Never heard a person teach on it in my life. And the Lord just started opening things up to me, revealing things to me about the kingdom of God. And ever since then, we've been trying to get people to get their attention on the internal rather than the external. The kingdom of God's in you. It's not out here. And we've been blowing a trumpet for a long time, and I'm still blowing the trumpet, and I'm saying get established into something to where you can't be shaken. And God's kingdom cannot be shaken. Amen. All right, my time's up, so we'll stop here. I use experience every once in a while to try to help you understand some things, but nothing takes the place of the Word of God. Okay? Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered. Those who hate You flee before You. Amen.
Amen.